Well, I'm so excited that you folks are with us today, and those that have been coming to our meetings night by night. We hope that you enjoy this service today. Pastor Langley and the baptismal candidates, about a quarter till 12, they're going to go downstairs, and they're going to get changed. And we're going to continue with the message up here to give them opportunity to get changed in their baptismal gowns. And then after the service, immediately following, we're all going to file down, okay? And there's some chairs set up downstairs, and there's a baptismal tank down there. And we're going to watch them be baptized together in the Lord. Amen? So I hope that you will stay behind for the baptism. And then as soon as the baptism is over, we're going to have a fellowship lunch, okay? I hope that you're all hungry today. Anybody be hungry right now? I'm a little bit hungry, but I hope most importantly we're hungry for the Word of God. And so again, please join us for lunch as we welcome our baptismal candidates into the fellowship of God, and praise the Lord that they have made this decision today. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started today. The message today entitled is The Unpardonable Sin. I've had people ask me whether or not they have committed the unpardonable sin. And what I have found is that if you're asking the question, if you've committed the unpardonable sin, more than likely you haven't. Amen? So therefore, we're going to find out today exactly what the unpardonable sin is and how we can avoid it. Because obviously, if the unpardonable sin is that of which cannot be forgiven, that would tell us also that we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, we want to take care of all of our sins. So let's move on here today. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. The Bible says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." And so here's our scripture today found in Matthew 12, 31, where we find this unpardonable sin. It's called blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Let's move forward here. First of all, we have to state in Scripture, what is sin? What is sin? So the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, "For sin is the transgression of what? The law. Therefore, sin is a transgression of God's law." What law are we specifically talking about? We're talking about the Ten Commandment law by which God wrote by his finger on stone in Exodus chapter 20. So how do we know what sin is? We know what sin is according to what the law says. We would not have known sin except for the law said, "Thou shalt not covet," or "Thou shalt not commit adultery." If we do away with the law, there is no sin. Okay? But God is saying that sin against the Holy Ghost, or blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, will not be forgiven, but all other sin will be forgiven. So if we look at this list here, these commandments cover all sin in the world. And what God is telling us is that all sin can be what? Forgiven. Therefore, this is good news to us. The question that comes into mind that many people want to know is, what is the sin against the Holy Spirit? 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he, speaking of Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible is telling here in 1 John 1:9 that God can forgive you of the sin of murder, but he cannot forgive you the sin of adultery. Is that what it's saying here? No. God is saying here, I can forgive you for stealing, but I cannot forgive you for taking my name in vain. Is that what he's saying? No. And what does this verse say? Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He will forgive us our sins. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is our God that can forgive us of how many sins? All sin. How many? All sin. All sin can be forgiven. All right, so let's move on here. But here we have the verse that says, "Wherefore say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but again, the blasphemy against the," what? "The Holy Ghost," or "the Holy Spirit, shall not be forgiven men." So in order for us to know what this blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is, we need to first understand the work of the Holy Ghost, and that's what we're going to look at today. We want to ask the question, what does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? All right? What does Jesus have to say about the Holy Spirit? We're going to look at four important facts about the work of the Holy Spirit. What are we going to look at next? Four important facts concerning the work of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. All right, so let's move on here. Number one, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will do what? It will guide you into truth. According to John chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible states here, "Howbeit he," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into what? He will guide you into truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into what? Into truth. Next question we have to ask ourselves today then is, what is truth? You ever want to know what truth is? You know, I've had people ask this question. You know, I tell them that I have the truth, and somebody tells me they have the truth, and then somebody comes along and says, "We can't ever know the truth. There's no such thing as truth." The Bible tells us exactly what truth is. According to John chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth." So according to this scripture, what is truth? The Bible, God's word, is truth. So yes or no, can we find truth? Yes. How can we not find truth if we don't study God's word? So we have to study God's word in order for us to find truth. All right? Another point here. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way and the what? Truth." So according to John 14, verse 6, what is truth in this scripture? Jesus Christ is truth. All right, so if you want to find truth, go to who? Go to Jesus Christ. We continue on here. In Psalms 119, verses 142 and 151, the Bible says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the what? Is truth. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy what? Commandments are truth." So according to these two verses, what is truth? God's law or his commandments. All right, so the work of the Holy Spirit, point number one, or fact number one, is that the Holy Spirit will lead us into truth, or he will lead us to the Word of God, he will lead us to Jesus, and he will lead us to the commandments of God. Amen? So this is the work of the Holy Spirit. What's the work of the Holy Spirit? To lead us to Jesus, to lead us to truth, to lead us to the Word of God, to the commandments. The Holy Spirit will not speak outside of God's word. The Holy Spirit will not speak outside of God's holy commandments that are already written in Exodus chapter 20. The Holy Spirit will always lead us to Jesus Christ, not to some other person. Remember in our seminars that we've been talking that in the last days, many will say, "I am the Christ. Lo, he is in the desert." But God says, "Do not go there." Why? Because that is not the true Christ. Friends, the Holy Spirit will lead us to the true Jesus, which is found where? In the Scriptures. All right, so fact number two. The Holy Spirit will do what? Convict us of our sins. Notice what the Bible has to say here in Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Holy Spirit will do what? He will convict you of your sins, according to John chapter 16, verse 8. "And when he," speaking of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, "is come, he will reprove or convict the world of" what? "Sin." So when the Holy Spirit falls upon God's people, what is the Holy Spirit doing? He's convicting us of our sins. Now, if you're convicted of something, are you happy or are you sad? That's a tough question, right? Are you happy or sad when you're convicted of something? Let me just put it this way. You're driving down the road, the speed limit says 35 miles an hour, and you're going 135 miles an hour, and you're pulled over and you're convicted. Are you happy or sad? Sad, okay? So when we're convicted of wrongdoing, typically we are sad for what we've done, all right? We're not jumping up and down and saying, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for convicting me of my sins," you know? No, there's something going on in the heart that is transforming us. So then, point number two, the work of the Holy Spirit is to do what? Bring conviction of sin. To do what? To bring conviction of sin. Number three, the Holy Spirit helps us to get righteousness. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins, we have sadness in our heart and we say, woe is me, look what I have done. But the Holy Spirit, remember, point number one is that he points us or leads us to who? Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is our righteousness, and because he is our righteousness, therefore we have joy or happiness. So I'm walking along in the world and I'm going along, you know, carrying on in life, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon me and says, Roger, do you remember what you did yesterday? And I said, not really. What is it that I did? And he says, don't you remember when you were in the grocery store, you came out with a pocket full of candy bars and you didn't pay for them? And I say, Lord, yeah, so what's wrong with that? And then he says to me, well, the Bible says in God's commandments, thou shalt not steal. You have just violated God's law. You are a sinner. And I say, oh, Lord, what have I done? What do I do? And the Holy Spirit in turn says, go to Jesus, because in 1 John 1:9 it says, if you confess your sin for stealing, he will forgive you of all unrighteousness. Therefore, when I sin, I'm in unrighteousness, but the Holy Spirit brings me back to Jesus so that I can get back into righteousness, whereby I come to Jesus, I confess my sin, and God says that he can't forgive me for stealing. No, he says, I will forgive you for stealing if you just confess it. Well, who just convicted me of that? The Holy Spirit did, right? So the Holy Spirit convicts me of my sin. I go to Jesus, I confess, and the good news is, because of my confession, what does God do with that sin? He wipes it away. He cleanses me from all unrighteousness, and therefore I receive righteousness. Let's look at this. There is therefore, according to Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation. You catch these words here, powerful words. When you feel condemned, if we, according to this, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ who? Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after who? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to walk like Jesus did without sin. And guess what the Holy Spirit does? He takes and helps remove, or Jesus removes the condemnation that we have in our heart if we walk after the Spirit. So therefore, we need the Holy Spirit to help us walk in righteousness. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, and you go, oh no, what did I do? Then he turns around and he gives us the hope, and he says, go to Jesus, and in turn, we have the righteousness of Jesus, and we can walk away with joy in our heart, relieved that the burden is gone, and no longer am I under the conviction of sin. Amen? All right, let's continue on here. So the Holy Spirit will, when he come, he will convict of the world of sin and of righteousness, according to 16 verse 8. Now, the next one is the number four, the Holy Spirit convicts of judgment and its penalty. Of judgment and its penalty. In other words, well, let's read these verses here. The Bible says, for the wages of what? Sin is death, according to Romans 6:23. We read just a moment ago that how many have sinned? Everybody has sinned. Right? Whether you believe in God or not, the Bible says that we have all sinned. What is sin? It's a transgression of God's law. If you have violated God's law, what do you deserve? Death, all right? So therefore, when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, he also gives you the warning of judgment. And what's the judgment? If you have failed to obey God's law, you deserve to what? Die, all right? So he tells us that judgment and its penalty, but in turn, he says, look, I have hope for you. What is our hope? Who is our hope? Jesus Christ is our hope. What do you say? Amen? Jesus, Bible says, for God so loved the world. Who's the world? Us, everybody. That whoever believes in him should not perish or die, but have everlasting life. Friends, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and listening to the voice of the Spirit is important for our salvation. Let's move on. So he will also, when he comes, will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. In other words, he tells us where our errors are. So let's look over these again. The work of the Holy Spirit, fact number one, is that he will guide us into truth. Fact number two, he brings about what? Conviction of sin. Fact number three, he leads us into righteousness. Fact number four, he leads us to an understanding of judgment and its penalty. All right, so what is the work of the Holy Spirit? These four things right here. All right, so if we know this, this can help us understand what the unpardonable sin is, because that's what we're here to figure out today. What is the unpardonable sin? However, before we go any further, we want to see what the counterfeit spirit is doing in these last days. According to 2 Corinthians 11:14, the Bible says, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of what? An angel of light." Notice these verses right here, Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14. "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are what? Spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole" where? "To the world." Friends, there's going to be a time, or we're maybe living in that time, by which Satan is going to the whole world and using his miraculous working miracles to do what? To gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. In other words, Satan is using deception through signs of miracles to deceive people so that they will lose out on eternal life. Therefore, friends, it's not what we see, it's what we know that preserves us for our eternal salvation. Does that make sense? So if somebody does this wonderful miracle in front of you and raises somebody from the dead, it doesn't mean they're from God. If somebody is healed, they live in a wheelchair all of their lives, and all of a sudden they pop up out of their wheelchair and start walking, that does not mean it's from the Spirit of God. What is he doing? Working miracles for what purpose? To gather to battle. In other words, to deceive people into believing in the false outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we want to know exactly what the true Spirit is doing based upon the Word of God. What do you say? Amen? All right, let's slow on here. Matthew 24, verse 24 tells us, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they should" do what? "Deceive the very elect." So in the last days, could it be that Satan will impersonate Jesus by saying he's in New York City, or in a desert somewhere, or in a kayak on the Hudson River, or wherever he may be? Could it be that Satan is trying to deceive people by showing miracles and leading people astray from the truth? Do we want to trust in a man, or do we want to trust in God? Amen. Right? Satan is constantly trying to lead us away from Scripture and scriptural truths. The only safety that we have in these last days to know the difference between what is truthful spiritual thing versus false is by God's Word. Let's move on here. Here's a $100 bill. Notice what it says. Federal agents don't learn to spot counterfeit money by studying what? Counterfeits. They study genuine bills until they master the look of the real thing. Then when they see the bogus money, they can what? Recognize it. Friends, here's the challenge that most Christians fail to observe. If we stick to the Bible and the Bible only, we will find our safety and security. If we continue to surf the internet and we continue to surf what is pleasing to us, we're not going to know the difference between the truth and the error. Friends, if we stick to the Scripture and the standard of the Bible, we find our safety and our security. Point that I want to make here today. Curious minds can lose out on salvation. Have you ever heard of curiosity killed the cat? Friends, God says that when they say there's false Christ over here and these miracles over here, he says, don't go because you will be deceived. Friends, we cannot defeat the devil on his territory. The only way we can defeat the devil is by standing on the territory of God's Word. The important thing that we need to recognize here today is that we need to study the truth so that we can decide in our minds by the guidance of the Holy Spirit what error is. So let's go back here and go over these things. The work of the Holy Spirit, number one, is to exalt the true Christ. Number two, points people to the truth, which again is Jesus, the Word, and His commandments. So if somebody tells you that the commandments were nailed to the cross and that we don't have to observe God's commandments, is that from the Spirit of God? Absolutely not, right? Points people to the Word of God. If somebody says, come and follow me, and they say, well, I think this is what the Bible teaches, is that from the Spirit of God? Absolutely not. Points people to the commandments. Convicts the world of sin. Friends, here's something else I want to point out, is that many people will claim that the Holy Spirit fell upon me, and I was able to do these great and wonderful things, and started clapping my hands and jumping up and down and praising the Lord. Friends, when the Holy Spirit falls upon God's people, it brings conviction, and through conviction, we fall on our knees, and we say, woe is me, I am undone. The false outpouring of the Holy Spirit is that you are okay, you don't have any sin, everything's going to be okay. When the true Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin. He will also lead us into a people into righteous living. I had one gentleman one time say to me who was a smoker. He said, God has given me the gift of smoking so that I can reach people that are smoking. And I'm telling you, I said, friend, that is not a gift from God, trust me. The reason he claimed it as a gift from God is because he couldn't quit smoking. He couldn't surrender that into the power of God. The Holy Spirit will convict us of judgment. The Holy Spirit, the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in us is the love for others. So if people are saying bad things and you're gossiping and all these things, is that the work of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. Let's continue on here. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, he that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a what? A liar, and the truth is not in him. If people are teaching contrary to the Word of God, it is not the Spirit of God that is working in them. And if they tell you that the commandments have been nailed to the cross or we don't need to keep the fourth commandment, what does the Bible say? They are a liar, and the truth is not in them. If they err on an important part of God's commandments that is very clear, what other kind of errors may they be teaching to the world? Let's move on here. What about the speaking of tongues? I had a gentleman one time come to me and say, God has given me the gift of speaking in tongues. And he rattled something off, and I didn't understand him. And apparently because I didn't have spiritual discernment. Well, let's look what the Bible has to say about speaking in tongues. In Acts chapter 2, 2 through 4, when the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now notice this. The languages that were present at the time when Pentecost happened were 18 different languages. 18 different languages. I once knew a girl in college that could speak 8 languages fluently. And I wondered, how does she think? Does she think in English or Spanish or German? How does she think in her head? But anyways, so languages that were present at the time of Pentecost, 18, the Corinthians, Mises, Elamantes, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and the list goes on. 18 different languages. Now, from what I understand, the apostles may have spoken 2 different languages, maybe possibly 3. But there were 18 languages present there. And notice this. In Acts chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says that all those people from all over Asia said they were all amazed because the people heard in their own what? Their own language. What did they hear in? They heard in their own language. Friends, the speaking of tongues is not words of Babel or confusion, but they're languages that are understood to us by which God may interpret or translate the words that we speak in our known tongue so that others can hear it in their language. Friends, that is the proper gift of the speaking in tongues. So what is the work of the Holy Spirit? The work of the Holy Spirit exalts Jesus Christ, points people to the truth, points people to the Word, points people to the commandment, brings conviction of sin, leads people into righteousness, judgment, and the results of the work of the Holy Spirit is love for God and love for others. Jesus said, if you love me, do what? keep my commandments. Friends, if the Spirit truly is working in us, we will love to do God's will. Amen? God, what is it that you want me to do? That's what I want to do. I want to please you. So therefore, what is the unpardonable sin? Because apparently all sin can be forgiven. What is the unpardonable sin? The unpardonable sin is this, to inquiring minds that want to know, is the sin that is not confessed or forsaken. I could have stopped early on, right? And just told you that, and everybody would probably been content and gone home, right? But no, we got to look at Scripture, right? So what is the unpardonable sin? It is the sin that is not what? Confessed or forsaken. Did you guys hear that? The unpardonable sin is the sin that is not what? Confessed or forsaken. So therefore, what sins can we be forgiven of? All of them. What does the Holy Spirit convict us of? Sin. If the Holy Spirit comes and convicts you of sin and you refuse to confess it, guess what God cannot do for you? He can't forgive you. Why? Because you did not confess it. God cannot forgive unless you confess. If you want to hold on to that sin, God says, go ahead. That's your choice. But I can't forgive you unless you first confess the sin and recognize your error. In John chapter 16, again, the work is to reprove righteousness and judgment. Now again, it says, wherefore they say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against who? The Holy Ghost. Friends, here is a powerful, powerful testament of the Word of God. Many people are following that beast power by which we identified in Scripture, and they don't even realize that they're setting themselves up to worship that beast power by which God says you shall not worship or you will be destroyed. How so? What does this word here, blasphemy, mean? Simply put, in John chapter 10, 33, blasphemy means when a man claims to be what? God, and when a man claims that he can do what? Forgive sins. Friends, the very temptation by which led Satan to his fall was that he could be God. He brought down to the human family, and they fell into this very same temptation. When the Holy Spirit comes to convict you of your sins and you do not confess them, what have you become in your own life? You've become your own God. Isn't that amazing? In other words, I'm not going to trust in the Word of God. I'm going to trust in my own ability. And when the Holy Spirit then comes to convict us and shows us what our sins are, and we do not confess our sins, what do we do for ourselves? We excuse the sin and say it's okay. What have we done? We have forgiven our own sins. What have we done, friends? We have become like God when we forsake the work of the Holy Spirit. You remember that beast power? It has a man at its head who claims to forgive sins. And also a man that claims to forgive sins, God says that he will bring judgment upon that power. And guess what? Many people, even who do not believe in God, by excusing the validity that there is a God and excusing their life, saying that I have not sinned, guess what? They have made themselves their own God. Isn't that amazing? So if we do what? Confess, Jesus will forgive us of our sins. Notice what Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 8 says. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your what? Harden not your hearts. Friends, there's the war right there in our minds. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, the challenge that we have is to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to surrender. Most of us don't like to surrender. We like to hold on to those sins. Why? Because they're so pleasing to us. He says, don't harden your hearts. If you harden your heart, what are you doing? You're rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you harden your heart against the Spirit of God, you're ultimately hardening your heart against the God of heaven, and therefore you have blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, and God cannot forgive you if you're not willing to confess and forsake your sins. Pretty easy, isn't it? So what is the work of the Holy Spirit? To exalt Jesus, point people to the truth, point people to the Word, point people to the commandments, conviction of sins, lead people into a life of righteousness, tells us about the judgment and its impending punishment. The results of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to love God and to love others. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, friends, what is Satan constantly trying to do in our lives? Don't worry about it today. Do it tomorrow. When we know when we know the difference between right and wrong, and we don't act upon what we know to do right and make an excuse because it may jeopardize my personal well-being, that one choice at that very moment can be your eternal destiny. There are many people today saying, I'm waiting for a better opportunity. I'm waiting for a better chance, or just another week with this, Lord, and I'll be okay. Lord, give me another day. Wait until tomorrow. When God brings conviction to know what to do is right, we cannot play games with God and Satan and say, I got this under control. Some people refuse to let go of that sin because it causes a burden in their personal lives. It may cause pain. It may cause hardship. It may cause loss of money. It may cause loss of courage, or may cause fear in our lives. And we may look to the future and say, how can I live without this, Lord? Friends, when we do that, we're playing games with the enemy. God says today, if you hear his voice, today is the day to stand on right principles and do what God has asked you to do. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait until it's convenient. Don't wait until something better comes into play. Jesus is asking us to do what is right today, and when we do it right today, he will help us tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. The important thing that we do is that we trust God today that he will take care of us tomorrow. Don't worry about the future. Worry about trusting in God. Because you don't know, you can walk out these doors today and get run over by a semi-truck or a train or get bit by a dog and get rabies and die. Who knows? You can die today. And if you have not forsaken those sins, God says that you will be judged and you will lose out on eternal life. Friends, God is merciful to us and compassionate. He desires that not one person should lose out on eternal life, but that every person should come to repentance. Friends, I want to ask you today, are you willing to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your personal life? Will you let the Holy Spirit guide you into truth? And if the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now, if the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction in your heart right now, and you know that you need to make a change, trust in the power of Jesus to help you make that change so that you can stand for what is right and do what God has asked you, so that you can be a demonstration to the world and the people around you of the power of God to work in your life. God wants to do great things with us. But when we play games with him and say, well, Lord, I'm just going to wait till tomorrow. I'm going to wait till it's convenient. God cannot reveal his miraculous power in our lives. Let God begin to work in you now so that you can be a testimony for him tomorrow and years to come. When you give up what the Holy Spirit is convicting you of today, you will be able to look back. I promise you, I guarantee this. You will be able to look back through history and you will be able to give a testimony of the power of God, how he has brought me through. And when he brought conviction, I was able to stand in the power of Jesus. And I look back and I say, look how God has provided in my life. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. God is waiting, friends, for you and I to stand on what is right so that we can share the gospel of good news to other people that we come in contact with. But when we do not do what is right, God cannot work through us. And therefore, we limit God and his power in our lives when we disobey him, and when conviction comes and throw conviction aside and say, Lord, I can't live without this. God cannot work in you or through you. Today, friends, is the day of salvation. Don't wait until tomorrow. Jesus is appealing to your heart and to my heart and to our minds today to prepare us for his soon return, and he wants us to go home with him. Amen? Don't let the trinkets of this world get in the way or interfere with your salvation. Jesus has a greater desire to save you than you do to have yourself. Let Jesus have his work in you today. Amen? I'm going to make an appeal to you today. Has the Holy Spirit convicted you in your heart about something? Is the Holy Spirit convicting you right now in your heart? Do you see something in your life by which the Holy Spirit is saying you need to get rid of that? Something maybe that you've held on to for most of your life. Maybe it's a trust issue. Maybe it's a faith issue. Maybe it's a concern, a personal loss or something. Lord, how can I? If the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now, if the Holy Spirit is working in your life right now, if you want to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life right now, to make proper steps to obey God's commandments, I don't care what man says. All I care is that I keep God's commandments. I don't care what man does to me. They can cut off my feet. They can cut off my head. I don't care. What matters is that I'm following the truth of Jesus, because that is the right thing to do. I would rather obey God and have eternal life rather than to obey man and lose out on eternal life. Every step that we take to resist the Holy Spirit is just that much closer to bowing down and worshiping that false power or that beast power in the latter days. Listen to the voice of God today. I'm going to ask you right now where you are. Right now, at this very moment, as God is speaking to you, maybe he's asking you to stand for truth. If the Holy Spirit is asking you to stand for truth right now, will you stand up with me today? Nobody's standing up for truth, huh? If the Holy Spirit is asking to work in your life, and maybe he's asking you to say, I just want to be a part of your life. Jesus is knocking on your door and says, I want to come into your heart. Will you stand where you're at today? Many of us may have challenges that we face. And some of us, it's okay. You know, if you remain seated, that's between you and God. There's nothing to cast guilt or shame upon any person. It's between you and God. So don't even look around. It's between you and God today. God is calling you to make a stand for him. And when God asks you to make a stand for him, he will take care of you every step of the way. Friends, Jesus loves you just as you are. And Jesus wants to bring you home. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may enjoy the privilege of salvation and a hope of eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross of Calvary to redeem us from our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am so thankful today, Lord, that the gift of the Holy Spirit has been given so that we can know how to walk and to live for you. I ask your blessing now as we enter into the hour of which we're going to see a baptism. Please bless our time together. And once again, Lord, we thank you that the unpardonable sin is the sin that is not confessed. So may it be in our hearts today that you will search our hearts, that you will try our minds and our lives, and help us to cast off everything that would challenge us or keep us from the joy of eternity. I ask your blessing now upon each person. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.